This is the Electronic Intifada Newscast. I'm Nora Barrows Friedman. It's day 236 of Israel's genocide in Gaza. The news from Gaza between May 25th and May 29th. Israeli occupation forces carried out a systematic massacre, several systematic massacres across the Gaza Strip this past week, from Jabalia in the north to Nuseirat in the center to Rafah in the south. On Sunday night, Israeli airstrikes targeted the Tal al-Sultan area in the northwest part of Rafah into the tents of internally displaced families who were told by the Israelis that it was supposedly a safe humanitarian zone. Because of the high density of the tents in a relatively small area, which are built with cloth and found materials, and the lack of roads, firefighting equipment, and water, a raging fire quickly spread through more than a dozen tents, burning people alive. At least 45 people were killed and nearly 250 were injured in the attacks. Our colleague Maureen Claire Murphy reported that Sunday's deadly attack came less than 3 days after the International Court of Justice demanded an immediate halt to Israel's military offensive in Rafah, which the court stated may inflict on the Palestinian group in Gaza conditions of life that could bring about its physical destruction in whole or in part. Maureen added that video and photographs that emerged from the Rafah massacre are, quote, some of the worst we have seen in the past 7.5 months, according to Al-Mizan, a human rights group based in Gaza. Those images, which I will not show here, were widely circulated around the world. They include Palestinians desperately attempting to recover charred bodies from the still raging fire and a man holding up the limp body of a headless baby as sirens and survivors wail around him. Javed Ali, director of emergency response in Gaza for International Medical Corps, gave this testimony of what he saw.
This loud airstrike that we heard, we just rushed to the hospital in about 5 minutes or so after our arrival. We started seeing ambulances coming in. So I think in total we had about 75 patients. Out of those 75, 25 were very critical. I saw the dead body of a father who was basically holding his child, perhaps around 3 years of age. They both had burned and charred. We couldn't separate them, so we had to put both of them together in a body bag. That was very, very hard. I chose this as a career for myself about 15, 20 years ago. I'm here with my peers, my colleagues, like-minded people who are here basically to save as many lives as possible.
That was Javed Ali, Director of Emergency Response in Gaza for International Medical Corps, speaking to the UN's Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs. Here's a clip from a report on Al Jazeera following Sunday's attacks.
They burned people. They burned them. They burned an entire block in Tal al-Sultan. What else do you want me to say? I cannot say anything. Missiles came crashing down on an entire block and people were burned. Go and see what happened to people.
On Monday morning, Palestinians surveying the wreckage reported that those who survived the attacks are now again without shelter. No one has access to water, sanitation, or health services. Maureen Claire Murphy writes that, quote, the death toll from Sunday's Rafah massacre was expected to rise due to severe burns and the lack of adequate medical facilities to treat the injured. Israel has systematically destroyed the healthcare system and targeted medical personnel in Gaza, severely hindering access to urgently needed medical care. Israel has halted the movement of people in and out of Gaza after seizing control of Rafah crossing on the border with Egypt earlier this month, preventing patients from being evacuated for treatment. The movement of humanitarian aid into Gaza has also been largely choked off as Israel expands its military offensive in Rafah, which has served as the hub of humanitarian operations in the territory for the last several months. For much more on the Sunday massacre in Rafah, read Maureen Claire Murphy's report, Israeli Strike on Rafah Kills Dozens of Displaced Palestinians, and also Abu Bakr Abed's feature, A Scene of Pure Horror, on electronicintifada.net. The Palestinian Health Ministry in Gaza stated that, quote, never before in history has such a large number of mass killing tools been amassed and employed together in front of the world as it is happening now in Gaza. where the population is deprived of water, food, medicine, electricity, and fuel, crushing the infrastructure, destroying all institutions, disrupting sanitation, spreading epidemics, crushing the health system, implementing the siege, closing crossings, and preventing the entry of medical supplies and delegations. I asked Dorothea Guchardo of the GLIA Project, who is in Rafah right now, to send us a report via voice message about Sunday's massacre and how Israel has wrecked the ability of healthcare workers to respond appropriately to these catastrophic attacks. She sent this message to us on Monday.
We were debriefing about our day when we heard one airstrike, followed closely by a second. The sounds these bombs make change depending on how close we are to the impact site. If we're close enough, we hear this whistling sound, and we have just enough time to think, uh-oh. Then a split second of silence. Then boom. The next thought is a mix of relief to still be alive and, oh no, because we know that someone, some people, a family, has just been impacted. That somewhere nearby, people have just been killed. Their bodies, blown to parts, we later see collected into pillowcases and blankets on TV and social media. I hear these sounds daily, and every time it puts a knot in my stomach. But last night was different. It took about 30 minutes before we started to hear the first reports of the airstrike against the encampment of internally displaced people in Rafah. It took about 45 before we started to smell the smoke. I remember the moment when I realized that the two airstrikes we heard were the sound of those weapons that had caused the devastation I was now witnessing on my screen. Men desperately trying to put out fires with buckets of water, the burned and mutilated bodies of children. Israel's Air Force had bombed people living in tents, and this wasn't even the first time. But to have done this mere days after the ICJ ruled that Israel must cease its operations in Rafah shows its complete disregard for international law. And from our perspective in the international aid community, the Israelis have been doing as much as they can to cripple our efforts. They're restricting the movement of aid workers and supplies into Gaza. They're preventing the entry of aid trucks. They're trying to enforce that we coordinate all of our movements with them, which means issuing complex documents to apply for movement 24 hours in advance of any trip and requiring them to okay it. Israel is killing Palestinians in a full spectrum of horrific ways and forcing the most trained international humanitarian actors to sit there and watch while it happens. GLIA's team, of course, will continue to do everything it can to mitigate the suffering we're seeing of the Palestinian people in Gaza, just like every other group of local and international healthcare workers. However, our efforts cannot suffice. That full spectrum of Israeli brutality must be matched by a full spectrum of resistance. The Palestinians are doing their part, but the international community continues to fail them. We have to meet this moment head on, and all of us increasing our efforts to dismantle Israel's ability to wage this genocide. Let's for once show the Palestinians not just that the world cares, but that it acts to protect them.
That was Dr. Dorothea Guchardo of the GLIA Project reporting for us from Rafah in a voice message she recorded on Monday. Israel did not stop its airstrikes against Palestinians in Rafah over the next several days. On Monday, Al Jazeera reported that Israel attacked a residential building in western Rafah and artillery shelling hit homes in the Saudi neighborhood in a nearby area. Another attack was reported in northern Rafah on Monday. At dawn on Tuesday, seven Palestinians were killed in another bombing of displaced families in tents in the Tal al-Sultan area, according to the Geneva-based Euromed Human Rights Monitor. According to their team in Gaza, all victims were members of the Abu Jarad and Tanbura families. They had been forcibly displaced to the south after the Israeli army forced them to leave their homes in Gaza City and the Strip's northern parts. However, they were targeted by Israeli aerial bombardment in their displaced tents. Euromed added, quote, the new targeting shows Israel's insistence on ignoring all international positions that denounced Sunday's massacre. Israel continues to commit the most heinous crimes against Palestinian civilians in the Gaza Strip with the intention of eradicating them in flagrant and egregious violation of international law and the International Court of Justice rulings. Yet another Israeli attack on Tuesday targeted the Al-Mawasi area west of Rafah, where thousands of families have been internally displaced and are living in tents on the sand dunes. At least 21 people were killed. The Associated Press released this video report on Tuesday.
The strike happened there, and we ran towards it to see what happened. And a second strike happened here next to us. We came and found about 6 to 7 of these people's parts, my cousins and some of their husbands and children. You were talking here about a toll of no less than 18 murders. People are settled here and are safe. They have nothing to do with anything. These are displaced people from Tal al-Hawa, my relatives. All of them are my cousins.
Al Jazeera's Hind Kudari had more on the attack after the massacre on Tuesday.
Forces are expanding and they're getting closer to a Kuwaiti hospital, just like you mentioned. But the Israeli forces just targeted another makeshift camp, tents, and at least 20 Palestinians have been killed with dozens injured. We reported yesterday that all of the Rafah hospitals ran out of service, so the only place that is currently receiving all of these injuries is an International Medical Corps field hospital, and this is the only way the Palestinians could get their treatment. We have been seeing videos emerging online of women, children covered with blood on the sand where this makeshift tent was very close to the coastline and to the sea. We also saw a chaos in the medical field hospital. We're talking about a medical point where it doesn't really have all the capabilities to receive all of these injuries in such incident. We have been reporting about all of the shortages and medical shortages the Gaza Strip has been witnessing for more than 3 weeks now. Nothing has been got into the Gaza Strip. The story is developing, Sami, and we still don't have the whole story, but the numbers are likely to increase in the next hour.
That was Al Jazeera's Hind Kudari reporting on Tuesday. The Gaza government media office stated on Tuesday that the Israeli army's attacks over a 48-hour period, quote, confirms the occupation's insistence on committing the crime of genocide with premeditation and deliberation. The media office urged the International Criminal Court to pursue war criminals involved in the killings of tens of thousands of civilians in Gaza. Al Jazeera's reporter Hani Mahmoud stated on Tuesday that, quote, Israeli tanks were pushing deeper into Rafah from two major axes, first along the Philadelphia corridor into the city center, and second from the eastern part of Rafah city all the way down to an area known as the Al-Auda traffic circle. He added that, quote, artillery shelling there has reached as far as the vicinity of the Kuwaiti hospital, which has been pushed out of service all day. The field hospitals in western Rafah city, including the Indonesian Field Hospital, the Kuwaiti Field Hospital, and the Emirati Field Hospital, are also out of service. They are pushed to relocate to the evacuation zone in western Khan Yunis, Al-Mawasi. Meanwhile, people are trying to find shelter anywhere they can. The United Nations reported this week that since May 6, more than 945,000 people have been displaced from Rafah and 100,000 more in northern Gaza. Families who were in Rafah are now sheltering in the central areas. Our contributor Abu Bakr Abed filed this report for us just before airtime.
3 days after the Rafah massacre, hundreds of thousands of people have been fleeing to Deir el-Bala. Secure some safety, despite there is no safe zone in Gaza. Here in one of the main streets in Deir el-Balah, as you can see, things are dotting the street. We have here one of the families, my Hans family, who lost 6 of their children, burnt alive, and they buried them 2 days ago, and then came to Deir el-Balah to have a hellish life where there is no water, food, or any supply.
That was our contributor, Abu Bakr Abed from Deir Bala. In northern Gaza, Israeli airstrikes killed at least 15 Palestinians in Jabalia refugee camp on Sunday. People used their bare hands to dig through the rubble of a residential building hit by Israeli airstrikes. For more than 2 weeks, Israeli forces had been systematically targeting areas of Jabalia, leaving mass destruction and devastation. Reporter Anas Al-Sharif stated on Monday that occupation forces continued to bulldoze the lands of the Fallujah Cemetery and destroy hundreds of homes and residential squares. The occupation forces target anyone who tries to move in the streets of the camp and fire extensively at the Abu Shark roundabout and at the Al-Fallujah neighborhood, he said. On Tuesday, Israeli forces struck the Fallujah area west of Jabalia refugee camp, injuring Palestinians who just started to try and return to the area after Israeli forces withdrew. One medic told Al Jazeera Arabic on Tuesday that, quote, "We, the paramedics and ambulance crews, are also targeted by armed drones. Minutes ago, artillery shells fell in the area, killing more people." This week, more hospitals, clinics, and field medical facilities have been targeted, as I reported, or have been forced out of service due to Israeli attacks. The Ministry of Health in Gaza announced on Tuesday that both the Indonesian Field Hospital and the Tel el-Sultan Clinic in Rafah have been put out of service, leaving only the Tel el-Sultan Maternity Hospital struggling to survive and continue providing service to patients in the Rafah Governorate. The Indonesian field hospital was bombed by Israeli forces on Tuesday, causing damage to the hospital's upper floors and trapping medical staff and patients inside the besieged facility. This followed the attack on the Kuwaiti specialty hospital in Rafah, which was forced to shut down after an Israeli attack outside the gates of the facility, which killed two medical staff and wounded others. Dr. Suhaib Al-Hams of the Kuwaiti hospital announced Monday that, quote, "Due to the enemy's expansion of the military operation in Rafah and the repeated and deliberate attacks on the hospital's surroundings, the most recent of which was targeting the hospital gate, which led to the death of two staff working in the hospital, as well as the injury of five medical staff in a previous targeting, we announced that the Kuwaiti Specialized Hospital will be out of service. The working medical teams were transferred to the field hospital, which is being prepared in the Al-Mawasi area," he added. Dr. Yipeng Gui, the Canadian physician who recently joined us on the live stream, tweeted on Tuesday that, quote, "The primary care clinic in Rafah that I worked at in February 2024, the Tel el-Sultan Primary Healthcare Center, is no longer operational. The former clinic is currently being used as a morgue because there is nowhere else to place the increasing number of dead bodies." In the north, healthcare officials say there are no fully functioning hospitals left. Dr. Mohamed Salha, the acting director of Al Auda Hospital in Jabalia, said that the medical facility continues to be under siege by Israeli forces. It was forced to stop operation last Friday, according to Doctors Without Borders. But as of Tuesday, 14 healthcare workers remain trapped at the complex with immobile patients and dwindling food, water, and medical supplies as the siege entered its 10th day. UNRWA, the United Nations Agency for Palestine Refugees, reported on Friday that due to the closure of Rafah Crossing and disruption of aid flow via Kerem Shalom Crossing, its health centers had not received any medical supplies for the past 12 days, affecting medicine stocks, especially antibiotics for children and anti-epileptic drugs, and rendering certain laboratory and dental items and vaccines completely out of stock. Euromed Human Rights Monitor stated on Sunday that food security levels have significantly declined as a result of the Israeli army's ground operation in Rafah City, in the south of the Gaza Strip, which began on May 7th and was preceded by Israel's blocking the entry of humanitarian aid trucks through the Rafah border crossing on May 6th. The group added that thousands of trucks on the other side of the Rafah crossing have been at a standstill for weeks and are inaccessible to residents whose lives depend on them due to Israel's decision to starve the people of the Strip, close the crossings, and prevent the entry of aid. Photos and videos this week showed Egyptian truck drivers being forced to dump thousands of crates of spoiled eggs that were destined for Gaza as part of food aid packages. One truck driver told Reuters that his goods had been loaded on his vehicle for a month, gradually spoiling in the sun. Some of the foodstuffs are being discarded, others sold off for cheap. He said, quote, apples, bananas, chicken, and cheese, a lot of things have gone rotten. Some stuff has been returned and is being sold for a quarter of its price. I'm sorry to say that the onions we're carrying will at best be eaten by animals because of the worms in them. EuroMed Human Rights Monitor added in its statement that, quote, only a small amount of very low quality aid has been delivered via the United States designated pier. The majority of this aid has not been distributed throughout the strip. The dock is seemingly just an official tool used by the U.S. to defuse criticism leveled at Israel for continuing its crime of starvation and preventing relief supplies from reaching the besieged enclave by land. According to numerous UN agencies, international humanitarian organizations, and the International Court of Justice, particularly in its second ruling on March 28th, land border crossings continue to be the most effective means of delivering aid. The $320 million U.S.-built pier, which delivered only 26 partially filled trucks to the shore more than a week ago, has been slowly breaking apart into the sea, rendering it completely non-functional. EuroMed Monitor added, quote, as the source of the famine, the international community has a legal obligation to put an end to the crime of genocide that Israel has been committing against the people of the Gaza Strip since October 7, 2023. Without doing so, it is impossible to discuss the creation of a suitable environment in which to provide humanitarian aid or to begin the process of restoring basic services to stop the famine from spreading and reverse its effects. In order to protect Palestinian civilians from genocide in the Gaza Strip, real pressure tools should be activated to force Israel to immediately cease all of its crimes and to comply with international law and the rulings of the International Court of Justice. This includes halting all forms of political, financial, and military support for Israel's military attack on the Gaza Strip and holding it accountable for all of its crimes. In related news, the Lemkin Institute for Genocide Prevention stated on Tuesday that it has, quote, had it with the cynical lies and propaganda from Israel and the USA. One can have different views about the definition of genocide, but one may not use definitional disputes to deny genocide. If a genocide may be occurring, every nation is compelled by customary law to try and stop it. And forgive me, but I'm just going to read the rest of the statement because it is so strong. Quote, let us be clear. Israel is committing genocide in Gaza. The U.S. is complicit in genocide. These are not political statements. They are statements that are made from knowledge and experience. Nevertheless, you do not need a PhD, a law degree, or X-ray vision to see the genocidal dimensions of Israel's carnage in Gaza. It is clear in the behavior of the state and its military on full display in yesterday's horrific bombardment of a Rafah camp. But even if there were legitimate doubts about Israel's genocide, there is no doubt that Israel is committing atrocity crimes of the most barbaric kind. Israel must be stopped. Israel must be stopped now. We are disgusted by Western leaders, especially in the USA, Germany, and the UK. They have demonstrated not only that they don't care one bit about genocide prevention and human rights, but also that they are willing to allow an ally to commit atrocity crimes while they offer material and diplomatic support. It is reprehensible, and the individuals involved in this gaslighting campaign should be deeply ashamed. They should also be put on trial. Humanity has a choice. Either we decide that our children can all be killed whenever a superior force alleges that, quote, terrorists are among us, or we decide that under no circumstances will we allow these superior forces to lay waste to our world any longer. We each must choose and act accordingly. The watershed moment is now. That was from the Lemkin Institute for Genocide Prevention. Finally, we wanted to bring you some images and videos from journalists in Gaza who are not just relentlessly documenting the unspeakable atrocities, but also making sure to highlight the resilience, joy, and determination of the Palestinian people. Al Jazeera journalist Ismail Al-Ghul tweeted this photo of children in the Shati refugee camp, saying, "These are the children of the camp. These are the heroes who steadfastly and patiently endured under the tyranny of the most powerful force in the world." 12-year-old Maher Mikdad showed reporters this week how he and his friends play with scraps of fabric sourced from the U.S.-led airdropped humanitarian aid parcels in Gaza City.
عمر 12 سنة من نسعين هين ودارنا انقصفت في الشمال.
And that's it for the news roundup. As always, go to electronicintifada.net for much more, especially to read our new features by our phenomenal writers in Gaza. You've been listening to the Electronic Intifada's newscast. I'm Nora Barrows-Friedman. Want to hear more? Check out this week's full-length show with interviews, reports, and analysis, online news articles, and more at electronicintifada.net. Produced by Nora Barrows-Friedman and Tamara Nassar.